Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer myself at the lotus feet of the Source, that is, the Source of all sweetness, fragrance and grace. The very embodiment of unconditional boundless love, the glue that binds us all and knits us into a gorgeous mosaic, the soul and goal of Radio Sai, our dearest and most beloved, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. A loving Sai Ram and good morning to all the listeners of Morning Glory from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and I thank you for joining us on this very first Thursday morning of the year 2017. Today is the 5th of January 2017, and you're tuned to Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Asia Stream. The time exactly now is 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and the temperature outside the Prashanthi Digital Studios right now is 23 degrees Celsius. The Divine Valley is currently experiencing overnight lows of 15 to 16 degrees Celsius and daytime highs of 29 to 30 degrees Celsius. It's quite a range with reasonably cool nights and warm sunshine in the afternoon. And it certainly feels a bit warmer when you're out there in the sun practicing for the big day which is coming up soon. Yes, dear listeners, you heard it right. The countdown has begun for the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools, colleges, university, scheduled at the historic and scenic Hillview Stadium in Prashanthi Nilayam. So on 11th of January 2017, Baba's beloved students from grade 1 to PhD level and even post-doctorate levels will offer their love and gratitude to their revered founder Chancellor Bhagwan Baba in the form of march pasts, drills, gymnastics, acrobatics, dances and much more. In the process, thousands of spectators at the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium will witness the discipline, the skill, the creativity, the precision and perfection and love of Sai students in the form of these various presentations. These lovely students of Bhagwan Baba, by the way, range in ages from 5 years to 25 years of age and beyond. These are the chosen ones whom Bhagwan referred to as his only property, his dearest children. And how much they value this privilege comes through loud and clear in the hard work they put into making each year's sports day more spectacular than ever before. So starting 11th of January, early morning, all roads in this part of the world will lead to the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium. And we will witness presentations by various schools, that is the Sri Satya Sai Primary School, Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Srimati Ishwaramba English Medium School, the four campuses of the Satya Sai University, the Mirpuri College of Music, the Sai Nursing College attached to the Super Speciality Hospital at Whitefield. It's all very exciting and we just can't wait for this day to begin. You can actually feel the anticipation in the air. On that joyful note, let's begin Morning Glory, the first Morning Glory, that is, of 2017, with a prayer for the well-being and safety of all life forms in all the worlds. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu is the prayer that we chant here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear Lord, we pray that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy. We pray that let there be harmony, peace, and love among families, at workplaces, among nations, and across all inhabitants of our planet. Let the galaxy spin in harmony. Let divine joy flow through every heart to fill the universe with positive, happy vibes. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy and peaceful and safe. please. Please, dear God, keep traffic on roads, seas, skies and railway tracks safe. Let every Sai devotee chant this prayer, Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, at every possible opportunity. It's very important that we all pray for the well-being of everyone, not just our immediate circle of family and friends. That's because we are all interconnected. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, says it so well, and I quote him, "Our world and our lives have become increasingly interdependent, so when our neighbor is hurt, it affects us too. Therefore, we have to abandon outdated notions of them and us, and think of our world much more in terms of a great us, a greater human family," unquote. And we all know, growing up with Swami, that the Vedas echoed the same sentiment centuries and centuries ago with the call, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This Sanskrit phrase means, the world is one family. And the Vedic thought was so broad-minded and all-encompassing that the family included our two-legged, four-legged, winged and finned friends, as well as inhabitants of worlds beyond our ken, acknowledging the infinity of creation. Isn't that profound? And dear listeners, let's not forget this wisdom of the Vedas came thousands of years before tabloids started reporting alien sightings and extraterrestrial life and whatnot. Speaking of which, I'm so looking forward to bringing you an interview with Dr. S. Panchanathan of the Arizona State University in a few weeks' time, right here on Morning Glory. And when you hear it, you will know why this topic of extraterrestrial reminded me of this amazing guest we had the privilege of interviewing quite recently. Meanwhile, I do hope you had a wonderful New Year's celebration, as did we here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Every year, New Year has become the time for thousands of alumni of Sai schools and colleges to come home for a reconnect and recharge with the source that is our Divine Founding Chancellor, the Universal Teacher to Humanity, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. If the school alumni presented their program of love and gratitude on 31st December, the musically talented and gifted alumni of the Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music offered their tribute the day prior, that was on 30th of December. And on January 1st, we witnessed an amazing presentation by the Satya Sai University alumni. Today, I am pleased to bring you a conversation with three members of the University alumni right here on Morning Glory. And I also have the final episode of Self-Reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti lined up for you. Finally, if time permits, I will play for you a concert by the Christmas Children's Choir. Let us now begin with the recently recorded discussion with three members of the Sai University alumni who were part of the reunion very recently. And they are Mr. Ratan Kanal, Mr. Venkat Desikan, and Mr. Anandya Dasgupta. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to this special conversation with three members of the Satya Sai University alumni who were part of a much larger group that came to celebrate or ring in January the 1st, 2017, in the Divine Presence at Prashanthi Nilayam. I'm very pleased to introduce you to my three guests. My first guest is Brother Ratan Kanal, who studied here in the Divine Institution from 1974 to 1979, completing his pre-university and his bachelor's degree in commerce. Professionally, Brother Ratan Kanal is a chartered accountant, and he runs a financial services business out of Bangalore, Karnataka. Sairam, Brother Ratan, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam, sister, thank you so much.
My next guest is Mr. Venkat Desikan, who studied here at the Sai University from 1992 to 95, completing his bachelor's degree in biosciences. Currently, Brother Venkat works as a delivery manager with Dell in Bangalore, and he specializes in the area of business intelligence, reporting and analytics. Sairam, Brother Venkat Desikan, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam.
And finally, my third guest is Mr. Anindya Dasgupta, who studied here from 1981 to 1991. And during these 10 years, he studied here from middle school, from grade 7, all the way to his bachelor's in biosciences from the Brindavan campus. Currently, he is the lead learning and development specialist for FedEx, and he's based in New Delhi. and he is responsible for the Middle East, India and African zones. Sairam, Mr. Dasgupta, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam, thank you so much, sister.
I want to begin by asking you, perhaps Brother Venkat can guide us on this. What is this tradition of Prem Bandhan that draws you gentlemen back to your alma mater with so much of love every year?
Sairam, this is Venkat. That's a great question. Truly, the alumni meet started sometime in 96, which is when, you know, we started meeting in the Divine Presence formally more often to make sure that, you know, we have a reunion at Divine Presence and at Prashantan Lame, which is actually our home away from home. Well, this was sometime in early 2000. I remember this day very well. I had called to the hostel early in the morning, and one of our professors picked up the phone, and first I wished him for the new year, and in fact I was missing Prashantan Lame so much, and one of our professors picked up the phone, and you know, well, he was very, very happy to hear my voice. First of all, that's a wonderful thing about our institution. We connect extremely well with our alma mater, and this just doesn't end with, you know, we passing out of the college. You know, I was so happy once I came to Bangalore, but the problem was I was living at the other end of Bangalore. I couldn't visit so often to the hostel, which is where the teachers used to be. So I called up that morning to wish Mr. Ravi Kumar, sir, you know, who was teaching chemistry for us at that point in time. And I had wished to other people, and at that point in time, he said, "Venkat, I think, you know, Swami is addressing you all today. Is it right?" was the question that he asked me. And I said, "I'm not sure. This is not the time when, you know, this is very early 2000, 2002, 2003. I think it's 2003, if I'm correct. So I was really not very sure that, you know, that it was right. And I asked him second time, "Sir, are you really sure that, you know, Swami is going to address us?" Because I was so happy to hear that, first of all. But the next thing is I'm here in Bangalore, and how am I going to get there? I asked him, "When is it going to be?" And he said it's most likely this afternoon, and must be about 2:30. And when I called him, it was very early in the morning. And well, I had just not planned for that morning to get to Parthi. Whatever it be, you know, his call comes first. I decided, I was sitting in puja that morning, my heart was completely there. And I had some work to be done that morning as well. And at the office, I'd call my people. But, you know, I had to step out of the place. I was in two minds. But when I closed my eyes and sat down at puja, it was very, very clear that, what was more critical in front of us was the call from the mother. And of course, work is equally important. But this time he has called us specifically saying he's going to address. I said, "We will do whatever, we will rush to Parthi." So I called my family and said, "No, I got to get out." And I called and said, "Somebody cover for me for that morning and at office." And I decided to quickly kind of hire a taxi, and we rushed to Parthi. Perfect timing in the afternoon. Swami was actually giving a public discourse, but he did bring up that old students have assembled, and you know, he did pass on a few words of his love. So that's how it actually started. And next day morning, of course, you know, I remember Swami had called us inside the bhajan hall and shared Vibhuti Prasadam, and this was in the year 2003. So that's how it actually started off. Then the subsequent year, and so we had kind of decided that since Swami addressed us on Jan 1st, I decided next year again we should get there. And, well, it had by that time slowly becoming a practice and a tradition to assemble at Prashantan Lame. So 2004, Jan 1st, we were inside the bhajan hall when Swami came in, and he was addressing a group of boys who had come that morning to assemble at the Divine Presence. That time the tradition used to be, we used to have a day of medical camp somewhere around the villages around Puttaparthi. And then we kind of move in. The next day morning, Swami will be really waiting there to know. And the most interesting thing is, definitely one question will be, you know, So which all villages you guys covered, you know, and once you tell them Kapalabanta or any of these, you know, villages around Puttaparthi, the most interesting thing will be the glee from Swami's eyes. Sometimes he used to ask names of people, okay, did you guys get to meet the gentleman? And, you know, that will be so-and-so over there. And, you know, it's like Swami kind of...
Detail?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that is really something, you know, we used to look forward to, you know, that glee from his eyes. The moment you say, you know...
He loved Gram Seva, didn't he?
Totally. Totally. And then he really associated himself so well with this place, and he played that role, you know, so beautifully, you know, in that human form. And, yeah, as though like, you know, oh, I know that village. And, you know, did you meet this gentleman who was there? You know, that kind of a question from him. And, that's how it kind of started. And we were sitting inside the bhajan hall. And this was like second year or third year, you know, when we were there on the Jan 1st. And one of the silent prayers inside all our hearts was we wanted to have something formally planned as a reunion. And we all should, you know, be there at the divine presence, because it becomes a clarion call, right? I think, and Swami should decide that, right? That's what it should be. And, he knows all that we are thinking. We really don't need to tell him in person. So Swami kind of addressed all the different things as he always did. One of his assurances every single alumni meet has been that you guys, wherever you are, do whatever you should. Continue to follow Satya, Dharma, and, you know, he quoted a lot of very interesting anecdotes. You know, I remember once he talked about Socrates, and, you know, I'm sure I can keep going on and on all that. But on this particular day, Swami said, Andaru Randi, Anandam Panchutanu. Everyone, come here, I will confer bliss. This was his words. It was a tradition that we always come here with families, and our family members look forward to this day as well. Well, that is how actually the tradition of Prema Bandham started off, very early 2000s, and now, you know, one other interesting one I can kind of connect with is my family looks forward to it every year. And, you know, we usually get here at least a week or two ahead of time. My yearly vacations are planned here at Parthi. And, you know, I'm pretty sure my daughter, who was like, from the time she was born, I think every single year on Jan 1st, she has been here with me. And she knows very well that, you know, she'll start preparing for it and start looking forward to, you know, not just spending time at Parthi, also meeting a lot of other alumni children and people here. So it's a fantastic reunion, not just for us. In fact, our family members enjoy it as well. So, well, that's really how the tradition of Prema Bandham started off. And, I mean, I should be thankful to Swami to say this. I don't think I have missed one Prema Bandham from that day, especially for the way Swami said it physically inside the bhajan hall. And, you know, it still rings in my ears as I'm recollecting it now.
Hmm. And the word Prema Bandhanam means the connection of love. Prema is love and Bandhan is the bond.
Absolutely. Our bond of love
is intact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the way he has kept it intact. I mean, he has already planned it so beautifully that we all come back and assemble in divine presence, not just us, we as a family, and relive those moments. And
so spouses, parents, children, everybody.
Oh, totally, totally. They all look forward to it.
Hmm.
My mom can hardly walk now, but, you know, she has arthritis and other few, you know, leg-related problems. But she completely looks forward to being here, even if it means she has to move around on a wheelchair. Hmm. She has to be here.
Oh,
I think
I see.
That's how it's been.
Now, seeing how dispersed your alumni is globally and how many batches have graduated from the Sai University, how do you all coordinate it across different generations and time zones and all those challenges?
Yes, that's really true. We have our alumni now across the globe, spread all across the different countries. This Prema Bandham, I kept track of the data myself, more than about 41 different batches. People from 41 different batches had come in person. And, well, the way we do that is we have taken advantage of the technology now, And we make sure that, you know, we coordinate with people from across the region and make sure that, you know, we are all able to be there well prepared ahead of time. And usually it is, of course, it is across the time zones. And, you know, really, I would say thanks to technology for allowing us to be able to do that. And people look forward to it. I mean, you can imagine on a daytime when we are talking in India, which is where most of them are. I mean, it's really midnight out there in the U.S. and people still look forward to it and join all our discussions. And there is a lot of meticulous planning that happens, you know, throughout the year. In fact, the planning starts the very next day of our alumni meet for the next one.
Right.
I remember last year, right after the alumni meet, we sat down and made a list of about 85 different points on where we could do better and come back and, you know, make our offering to Swami more efficient. So, you know, so that's really how it is. And everybody works as one single family, though we are spread all across different countries and different time zones. It's truly something, but for his love and the way he kind of nurtured us, I don't think, you know, you could, something like this is really possible. You know, people coming from, this time I think we had people from more than 10 different countries who had visited for the Prema Bandham. And we had well over 1,200 people here, you know, on Jan 1st.
So all over India and about 10 countries around the world.
Yeah, across the world. And, you know, you can think about it. This is a time when it's, you know, Christmas time. And, you know, the flight fares are definitely high too. And,
you know, demonetization has happened in India. And people can think of 5 million excuses to not come. And yet there was such a huge turnout.
Truly. Truly. Swami's love has just remained the same in spite of all the different changes.
Yeah, the currency of love doesn't ever get demonetized.
Yeah, it's just the same. And, you know, the number of people who came, and every year you find more people adding up to it. And, you know, they all plan their vacations towards the year end. Like, you know, like I said, I do, sitting right here. But imagine somebody coming from abroad with their family and coming to participate in this event. It's truly something to, you know, watch, and the way the programs run, it's really fantastic.
Indeed it is. Now, Brother Ratan, I'm wondering, there must be so many components to planning something this elaborate, and in the end, the final product, it just flows so meticulously. So to do something which is so worthy of being presented in the divine presence, what all do you have to keep in mind?
Basically, what happens is that, you know, we have so many components, as you very rightly mentioned, right, from prasadam to photograph to the drama to flower decoration to cake
band
to, you know, the march past to the palki seva to the, you know, speakers to the guests to the accommodation, the prasadam and the what needs to go into the prasadam, which photograph to give out, and, you know, you get it laminated with the calendar behind. So, selection of the photograph, and so a lot of planning goes, and, you know, in fact, we coordinate across geographies and across time zones, talk to each other, get a consensus, more or less.
So do you have different teams working on it?
Yes, this is the best part of it. There are brothers who passed out of the campuses, but once they have passed out, they have specialized in various fields. And they bring their expertise into, like, the drama team, the gentleman who writes the drama. He's been a master at this. And then, you know, Swami's grace, Swami just keeps guiding him on the play, on the dialogues, on the theme, on the story. And you look at the end, you know, all this, whatever planning happens, at the end of the day, frankly, to be very honest, the whole thing blends into such a divine experience. It's only because of His one grace.
Yes,
only because
so
of Bhagavan's grace, which makes this, I mean, a band which has been out, boys have been away.
And they're rusty, and probably they don't even practice rest of the year.
We just get 3 days to practice.
My
and
God.
Yet,
They perform so well.
It's all there for everybody to see. Get on to Radio Sai, log in, and you can see the band playing. And so is the case with the drama. I mean, it's not that we've got months to practice.
So you just arrive here, and you gather, and you spring into action immediately.
Absolutely.
Must be tough to just hit the ground running, but I can see there is so much enthusiasm and excitement in everybody's faces. People are running helter-skelter, and I also notice that the alumni, the male alumni of the university is busy in one set of activities. The alumni of the primary school and the higher secondary school have their own ecosystem. So the few days leading to your celebrations, all of you are absent from the Kulwant Hall because you're practicing and preparing for something, and we only see you on the day of the presentation because time is so short. Now, how was this year's program finalized? And then, you know, you finally, as you said, it falls into place. All the parts become a perfect whole in the end. So how was the finalization process? How did it flow?
As I mentioned, you know, every aspect was discussed in the core team, and then there were suggestions, and we finally decided to freeze on every item that, okay, so-and-so will handle the play part of it, so-and-so will handle the flower part of it, in discussions, and finally we decide. The best part of it is there's tremendous harmony, and we all know that, okay, this is so-and-so's specialization, so we hand it over to them, and then, you know, then of course, ultimately, it is Bhagwan who, you know, makes it a fantastic fabric.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to add, Brother Venkat, to that?
Truly, like I said, the planning started off the next day.
So each year you finish your presentation and you
and
start
planning. And planning starts up for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Because you're all physically in the same spot, I guess that helps.
Yeah, more importantly, you just completed an event for Bhagwan, and you want to make sure that, you know, next time when you're doing it, you want to be even better than that.
I see.
Right? So, I mean, the drama this time was a huge highlight. In fact, I want to certainly pick up and talk about it. In fact, I would pass on to Brother Anindya to add about it because he was part of it.
Sure. Go ahead, Brother Anindya.
Yeah, I think, you know, very aptly said that, I mean, Ratan just now said that everything that Swami does is, in fact, he's doing it in everything that we do. So the drama is, in fact, I would say, is as is, you know, Swami's usual style. Now, we didn't have anything, I guess, maybe 15-20 days before, till Swami appeared in one of our brother's dream, and his and brother's name is Ranganath Raju. And Swami said, this is what, you know, I want you to do the drama. It's a kind of a Dashavatar, you know, concept, mm-hmm. with the contemporary characters from the institute being a part of it, and I would also require the characters from kind of, you know, mythology. So he just left it there, and just imagine, Ranganath Raju had no clues what needs to be done. He was a little stressed, and suddenly Swami appears one fine morning in his dream and says, why do you worry? Whose drama? Mine. Doing it for whom? For me. Then why do you have to think about it? And that's how, you know, Swami in fact came and gave the script. The script was designed. I have never acted in any dramas before, right? So it was all a miracle, you know, how he, you know, hunted us down. You know, he just prayed, Swami, these are the characters, so kindly give us the names. And I mean, we don't know what happened in the background. I was given a call, and so as, you know, the rest of the, you know, boys. And it was like a yagna for us, you know. This 3-4 days, early in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, and Swami himself said, what you do for me is just like doing tapas.
Mm.
And we are really grateful to Bhagwan that, you know, we could be part of this 2017 Prem Bandhan's drama.
And this was your acting debut.
This was my acting debut.
You don't know where your acting career may lead you, brother.
I swear.
In fact, I'll just mention one thing. This morning, you know, when we were distributing the Bridge Across Time CD made by our brothers from Chennai. And, you know, Prasanna was mentioning our brother from Chennai that there was so much of palpitation because till 3 o'clock the CDs had not arrived. And the program was the first.
That's signature Swami, right? He'll keep you on tenterhooks till the very last moment. And then it just happens. You have to pray. He wants us to pray so intensely.
Just to increase the intensity of the prayer.
Yeah.
I remember one little incident in Vrindavan. You know, he was sitting around his chair. The Swami asked all of us, what is the one thing that you like in me?
Uh-huh.
You know, being little boys, we said, you know, Swami, your hair is lovely. Swami said, no, Donapata, come on, don't talk about physical things, something else. So we said, Swami, you got lovely eyes. Swami, you know, you got very soft, buttery hand. Swami said, no, you should love one thing about me, and that is my uncertainty.
No, that's really well said. I completely agree. I think every time when we come here, we do, like I said, we start planning so ahead of time, and then we reach there. We know pretty well, and last moment, there are going to be surprises, but he makes sure that he stitches it all, and it flows like such a beautiful fabric, and every time that amazes me. So, you know, now I've gotten used to this. I was telling someone, yes, there will be changes, but don't worry about it. It's Swami's program, and he makes sure that it's always kind of delivered beautifully the way it should happen. And really a way kind of he shows us that he's actually doing it through us than we trying to, you know. So that's a beautiful lesson to carry through the year for us. And, you know, we keep the memories of this until we come back for the next Prema Bandhan, and then once again start reminiscing those moments.
Hmm. Now, you know, you all sound so moved by this, the depth of this experience. Does it matter that he's physically absent?
It's actually a very tough question to answer. It does, right? I would not say it does not.
Mm.
But yes, you know, initially, I would say the year one, that was 2012, was pretty heavy on all of us, because every year, you know, we had got used to Swami, you know, seeing him.
Yes.
But post 2011, you know, when we came back on 2012, there was a void.
Yes.
But what Swami has taught us, you know, we have learned maybe from 2011 onwards that we have to go away from the form to the formless. And that's what I would advise, I guess, every alumni and also devotees to read a lot of Swami's literature. The in-depth of Satya Sai speaks on all the 40 volumes, talks about only one important aspect. Please move from the form to formless. And that's what I think we have, you know, matured ourselves. As I've just mentioned about the incident of the drama, similarly, you speak to any alumni, you speak to any of the events, everything has been designed by Bhagwan. One little incident, you know, since I'm also part of slow march, you know, that happens, I mean, right in the beginning, exactly at 4:45, the moment, you know, the Vedam is through. We had lost our slow march alumni flag, and that flag was blessed by Bhagwan. I guess it was around 2012 that we had lost that flag somewhere. It was basically kind of, you know, we had misplaced it. We had kept it somewhere, and, you know, post-alumni meet, it just got lost. So we marched without an alumni flag on the year 2013. I remember that day. And we were feeling extremely bad, because when we came back to, you know, Parthi, we looked for the flag at the institute, at the school building, the flag wasn't there. So we had to manage a kind of a regular flag. So we prayed to Swami, Swami, that was an alumni flag, and that was blessed by you. Please help us out. Will you believe, in the year 2014, you know, when we came back for the alumni meet, just a day before, I would say it was 31st of December, and the slow march was to happen on 1st in the evening around 4:30, I get a packet, a courier packet from a devotee, and the devotee says that someone had sent this flag to him, so I am sending this flag from Coimbatore to your name. And this envelope was given to me by one of the Sevadal, and that envelope, all the four corners were bitten by termites and rats, but inside the alumni flag was absolutely secured, and there was not a single scratch. I do not know how that flag went to Coimbatore, who sent it, how it came. The Sevadal came and gave me the envelope and said, he said, this is a package that has come for you just yesterday, and this is very important. I said, who had sent it? He said, I have no clue. And the package, sorry, I think I made a little inner error. The package, I get it on 1st of January at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just 45 minutes before you needed
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I open it. I'm totally astonished. I show it to my, you know, fellow colleagues, the March Pass boys. We have the alumni flag. We take off, you know, the flag that we had, you know, made just, you know, by different colors. And we post the alumni flag into the pole, and we do a slow march. And everyone is amazed. How did you get this flag? I said, Swami has got it for us. So these are little incidents, you know, where it's a divine proof that he is absolutely there for us. So that's the reason, you know, we have to move from the form to the formless.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I'd only like to add here that while the body is not there, but I'm sure all of us, frankly, have a whole lot of experiences where Bhagwan guides us at every single step, to the extent that when Brother Venkat, myself, we had a meeting with one of the authorities for the planning, and we were delayed because of the traffic jam. So I hit the gas pedal, drove fast, reached here. After finishing the meeting, went to Mandir. Just close your eyes, and you just see Swami standing there and asking, when did you come? Swami, this afternoon. Good. Why did you drive so fast? What answer do you say to this? So it is frankly, he is very much there.
As long as we're open to experiencing it, we can feel the presence and the guidance, as we do in Radio Sai, always Bhagwan's presence in the studio. Now, tell me, I just have to ask you this. Why would anybody in their right mind want to skip all the partying, the New Year Eve revelry, celebrations with family and friends? There's so many events lined up at workplaces, in five-star hotels, in family groups. Give all that up to come to an ashram to ring in the New Year with songs of that glorify God, and grown-up men performing dramas and marching and trying to, you know, hone up and refresh their band skills and singing skills. Why?
Frankly, I've been part of the five-star hotel industry for 10 years of my life.
So you've had enough of it.
And I'd only like to add, because, you know, after having passed out of Vrindavan, I was doing the auditing of one five-star hotel, went on to join another group, which I would see, you know, whole chain of hotels. And attending those parties, frankly, was compulsory because, you know, you were at a very senior position and you had to attend purely. I'd like to only mention that, you know, zindagi ki raahon mein ranjo gham ke mele hain, peed hai qayamat ki, phir bhi hum akele hain. And that was actually very shallow. That entire thing is very shallow, very momentary. The minute you finish the party, you go back, you see people drunk, or when you're seeing TV, the minute the TV shut off, you forget everything. You don't carry back anything. Coming here, when we come here, the joy, the bliss, the bonding, the fact that, as Brother Venkat mentioned, you know, 41 batches, and yet the bonding is so strong. It doesn't matter if, you know, somebody is a grandfather today, and the other boy has just passed out the last year. The bonding is so strong, and that is the reason why we prefer to come here. Because this bliss cannot be got anywhere else in the world.
Beautifully mentioned by Ratan. And, well, we actually had people coming this time with their grandchildren. And some of them with their sons, who again have passed out. So two generations of alumni.
Because the university and these institutions have been in place for so many years.
Yeah, and a lot of their alumni have their children now studying in primary school or high school, and, you know, they all come back.
Yes.
You know, it's very interesting. There are sometimes, you know, I came in to do the university education, because that's when, in fact, I'd come to know of Swami, and, you know, and then we were here, and of course, almost like life began after that, right? But, you know, you see, the children who studied there all the way from the first standard until their, you know, post-grad and sometimes with PhD, they come back and put their children again in the primary school. So this is like you have spent your entire life in a hostel. So the feeling usually is that you don't want your son to come back. And so you ask him, in fact, I had asked one of these guys, why would you come back and put your son back here? Because you have spent it just to know what the feeling is. He says, if you really want a great childhood, this is the place to be. I mean, what more? Somebody was being there throughout. And again, now, I think, you know, he has been there when Swami used to come in the first few batches, right? Swami used to actually walk into the primary school, spend time with his boys and, you know, distribute chocolates and, you know, whatnot. And now, I think, you know, this guy comes back and, you know, a lot of them, in fact, a couple of my classmates. And, you know, it's really wonderful to see. To the point that Ratan mentioned about coming back. Well, we heard this from Swami multiple times, especially when we come here and then Swami chooses to, you know, meet us, you know, inside the bhajan hall and address us. Well, he always mentioned, come back once in a few months and get your batteries charged. Recharged, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure there is definitely some significance. I'm sure we can see everything, you know, it's not, you know, through our naked eyes, but I'm sure there is more to it than what we can see.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some reason why he has actually kind of set up something. You know, at least people have gone out abroad and, you know, at least, you know, they get a chance to come here once in a year, mm-hmm. or, you know, sometimes, you know, some people try to make it even twice. So now we have actually two alumni meets, to just, you know, talk about it. One is we kind of have this end year meet where we all meet up, you know, at the Divine Presence and at the mid year meet where we come purely to spend time with the university to try and see how could we go back and contribute to the alma mater. So that's again another strong connect, and we all totally look forward to it because we enjoyed those hostel food and you know, catching up with the lecturers there, and you know, it's really something to look forward to. In fact, the moment the alumni meet is over on, you know, Jan 1st, you feel like you need more of it. I mean, I actually come at least a week or two ahead of time. This time I came a week, you know, earlier along with Brother Ratan and you know, one other gentleman, and it feels like, you know, when will I get a chance to come again? Now, for one more alumni meet, they all keep coming. In fact, we were here last 5 weekends, so every Friday night once your work is over, you know, Saturday morning, pat up and then drive down and, you know, spend your Saturday, Sunday and go back and all for preparations. And, you know, now, again, you still miss it after this 5 weekends here, plus another 1 week up here. You still, you know, I got to go back tomorrow morning to resume work, but I've already started missing it. I'm sad about it.
I can relate to that. I guess it's like a spiritual spa for you. Although you're running around, it just gives you so much of satisfaction.
Totally. Mm.
What I want to ask you, gentlemen, is do you foresee yourself doing this, coming back to the source every year end to ring in the new year in the Divine Presence?
I think without any thoughts, yes, absolutely. We would love to, as you know, Venkat just mentioned, 2010, you know, that was the last year when we did see Swami physically, and Swami mentioned again inside the bhajan hall, and he used a very, very, you know, interesting word, keep coming. Unfortunately, you know, we all were ignorant of what's, you know, what was in store or what was coming up in the month of April. We were just, you know, wondering why did he say keep coming, because, you know, we keep coming. Later we realized that, you know, he was wanting to write it, you know, maybe with his blood, that you will have to keep coming. The first thing that we do is, you know, the moment we come over here, let us say, and, you know, when we leave this place, the first thing we touch Swami and say, Swami, please give us the strength, bless us so that we can come back in the next following year for the same meet. So definitely all of us have that wish. We only pray to Swami that, you know, nothing stops us, and he should be a guiding force. He should help us so that all of us, you know, come down over here with more and more numbers.
Mm-hmm. And what would be your message to the brothers who were not able to make it to the alumni meet?
I know a lot of boy brothers who, because we've been talking to them through the last 6 months. A lot of brothers who've been wanting to come, but various circumstances, they just can't make it because of various compulsions. I'm sure a lot more boys would want to come purely because the heart is here. I'm sure they will make it the next year and the following year. And to some of the brothers who've possibly lost their way in between, I remember a time when, you know, we all used to say is to, you know, tell Bhagavan that Swami will give our life for you. We'll give our life for you. And if they don't come today, frankly, I keep wondering what Swami would say. Jaane kahan gaye wo din, kehte the teri raah mein, nazaron ko hum bichhayenge. चाहे कहीं भी तुम रहो, स्वामी वुड ऑलवेज से, चाहे कहीं भी तुम रहो, चाहेंगे तुमको उम्र भर, तुमको न भूल पाएंगे. That's all that I can say.
और कहने और करने में बहुत अंतर है. So you know, we have heard lots of people say lots of grandiose things, but the ones who walk the talk, I think the ability to walk the talk is His grace. It doesn't come from anything specifically that we are gifted with. The fact that He gives some people that continuous motivation to stay yoked to His, to this source of divine power, that comes from His grace alone.
It's only His grace, frankly, sister, because, you know, whether we are in our professional life, our personal life, our daily life, at every second, every minute, frankly, It's His grace alone which is sustaining us. Whether in the ashram, outside, it's only His grace, nothing else.
Mm, I guess as His students, He just showers it upon us.
He does it for everybody. Mm. He, you know, Swami is the creator of the world. It's like, you know, the sun rises for everyone.
Yeah.
Some people decide to draw the blinds and close the doors. It's not the sun's fault.
The sun is
rising for everybody.
Mm. I agree.
You know, thanks to technology today, though I said about 1,200 of them were, you know, here, the reality is good number of them were plugged in to the Radio Sai, thanks to the studios and also the YouTube that kind of enabled us to, you know, live transmit. Those who could not come for various circumstances, we are still here. You know, Bhagwan is not just here, right? He's all over, and they could also kind of participate actively in the programs because of the technology today.
I see. So, Venkat Desikan, in one word, if I asked you to sum up your takeaway from the experience of the homecoming reunion on January the 1st, 2017, what would that be?
Ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, I started talking about it right in the beginning, everyone come here, I'll come for bliss. So, truly when we go back, we all go back filled up and... you know, that's truly, the word is, it is ecstatic moments.
Mm-hmm. And what's your word, Brother Ratan?
Prema Bandham.
The bond of love.
The bond of love. The joy that you could connect to more and more brothers. The joy that the families could connect to the families of our brothers. That mm-hmm. itself is unique, which mm-hmm. is only, I guess, possibly only to this institution.
Mm-hmm. Brother Anandya?
I think recharging our batteries,
mm-hmm.
you know, you come back after a couple of months or maybe after a year.
And you plug to the power source.
Plug to the power source and that's it. We again go back with a lot of energy, spiritual energy, I would say.
And I think it's also a true reunion to say that, right? Reunion, of course, everybody has a reunion and, you know, especially with the technology now, I see more and more schools and colleges having reunions because they're able to contact people, you know, more actively, able to locate them. But I think this is a true reunion and thanks to Swami for creating such a wonderful society, you know, around us and allowing us to be here and partake His love.
Truly well said. And we have our own ecosystem. We live in a very special divine orbit that Swami has created for us. And we draw our sustenance like plasma from it to keep ourselves going.
Very true. Very true.
So thank you very much, Brother Ratan Kanal, Brother Venkat Desikan, and Brother Anandya Dasgupta for sharing your thoughts with us on this special episode of Morning Glory.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sanam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India on this 5th day of January 2017. And the time in the abode of Supreme Peace right now is exactly 29 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. You just heard a discussion with three members of the Sai University alumni, Mr. Ratan Kanal, Mr. Venkat Desikan, and Mr. Anandya Dasgupta, who shared their thoughts about the recent alumni reunion on January the 1st, 2017, which took place here in the ashram. We warmly welcome your thoughts, suggestions and comments regarding this discussion. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. So please send in your emails immediately to this email ID, listener@radiosai.org. And now, I'm happy to play the final episode of Self-Reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti. This is episode number 9, and it is called Baba, the Force Within. This will be followed by a few Christmas carols by children that were presented in the Divine Presence during various annual Christmas celebrations here in Prashanthi Nilayam. With that, I'm happy to play the files for your inspiration and bid you Sai Ram. I hope you have a saisome, awesome day ahead. May the Lord bless, protect, guide and guard you always, every moment of 2017. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking and loving God with all that you have, and stay happy. Please enjoy the rest of the show, and remember, we'll be eagerly looking forward to your feedback to this episode of Morning Glory or any other Radio Sai presentations. Our email ID for feedback remains listener@radiosai.org. And Jai Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Self-Reflection on Radio Sai. Self-Reflection is a unique presentation to honor the 91st birthday anniversary of Bhagwan Baba. In this series, we have Mr. K. Chakravarti, a long-standing devotee and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, read out articles that he has penned for various commemorative volumes that were published during landmark birthdays of our Lord Sai in the period 1990 to 2016. Today you will hear Mr. Chakravarti share the ninth reflection in this series, entitled Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, The Force Within. He had penned it for a special 90th birthday souvenir adoration in the year 2015. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 22nd of October 2016. Here it is for your inspiration and listening pleasure.
Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, The Force Within. Let me begin with a quote from Sri Aurobindo's Savitri. High truth must set her feet on earth, and man aspire to the eternal light, and all his members feel the Spirit's touch, and all his life obey an inner force. Bhagwan's sojourn on earth was called off by him in 2011. We have heard him say that he'll be in his form till 2020. He also told us that he will decide to extend his stay on earth beyond that year or terminate earlier as per his will. He chose to bring his stay on earth to a close in 2011. We cannot speculate on the reason why he chose to do so. Oftentimes, he had told us that there is no such thing as free will to be exercised by human beings. Only God has free will. Swami chose to exercise his free will in regard to the span of years that he will be upon the earth. Many acts of Swami were beyond our comprehension. Unusual happenings, especially in the early years of the avatar, were attributed to his innate divinity. There are many incidents recalled by his devotees when they felt that they were saved by his protective armor. However, there were claims made by some unscrupulous persons that they have been chosen by Bhagwan as instruments or intermediaries for transmission of his divine grace or power. And these were condemned by him in no uncertain terms, and he cautioned the devotees to be on their guard against such unsustainable claims, and that they should shun such claimants. The days preceding Mahasamadhi were dark days. Swami's stay in the hospital during that period benumbed me. I'm not sure whether I felt alive at all. Each day seemed endless and merged into the other, adding to the sense of foreboding and gloom. But there was also a persistent feeling that the end is not inevitable, and there could be a miraculous turnaround as an act of grace by Bhagwan to his devotees. I could not imagine a life without Bhagwan. Not having left his physical presence for nearly 30 years, except for a brief time. The mix of emotions was ill-defined and remains so even today. Did I have the strength to pull myself up to face a day when I am told that the presence which meant so much for me will no longer be there and that I have to touch the divine feet of Swami only in a picture? He was there to touch and be touched on almost daily basis. Now loomed the prospect of eternally losing that blessing. A stupor had overtaken me. I have heard Swami telling the devotees about the abject misery of the Pandavas when Lord Krishna made his exit from the world. But never imagine that a day will come in my life when I'll go through a similar feeling. Driving to the hospitals in mornings and nights during that somber time was a mere mechanical motion, and the whole day staying in the hospital in the room adjacent to Swami's room was a prolonged inert existence. People coming and going, talking in low tones and whispers, were but vague impressions in my mind. I felt the days to be endless, each day passing into the mist of time. I feared the end. I was aware in one part of myself that as a functionary, I should take practical steps to meet the final moment along with other functionaries associated with the trust in the organization. This awareness was not backed by energy, both of mind and body. I could not reconcile myself at that time to the immense loss of one who was my support as he was to so many. Days following the Mahasamadhi left me with a sense of void. There was a disconnect with the world, and I was adrift in spite of my efforts to gain a sense of normalcy. I felt that I was thrown into a circumambient void of nothingness. If only I could see Swami's smile to persuade my lacerated heart to live again and feel the hands of calm. How long will earth hold its rude, troubled days? There is a gloomy silence within amidst the noisy tramp of life. That was my state as I struggled to get my bearings and find a meaning to this turn of events. Slowly, I started to realize that I cannot find consolation from any outside source, nor relief in some meaningless recreation of past physical reality. I have to fall back on Swami's teachings and my own inner strength. Swami has spoken to us that the body is like a water bubble. Rest not your faith on that. Our efforts must be to focus on the imperishable and do all that we can and all that we should in a spirit of humility and offer all our work to Him. Instead of bemoaning the absence of His form, I should now concentrate on His eternal reality. I saw before my eyes how even when His physical health was failing, He continued with what He considered His duty to His devotees, namely, giving darshan to them and even engage them in sambhashan as of paramount importance, although he was beyond duty or any commerce of the day. He made no remarks about his physical condition and bore the pain of the suffering body as if it were separate from him. It was yet another confirmation that his life was his message, and I felt that he was conveying to me and all the devotees that he was not the body, even though we all knew that that was a divine body. Many such thoughts flew around, and many moments of profound grief got punctuated by sudden moments of solemnity and deep understanding of Bhagavan's teachings.
Sai Ram, you are tuned to Radio Sai's special series, Self-Reflection. You are currently listening to Mr. K. Chakravarti reading out his article, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, The Force Within, written for a special volume to mark the 90th birthday of Bhagwan in the year 2015. This reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 22nd of October 2016. Please continue to stay with us for the rest of the narrative.
I found it to be a continuing struggle to awaken myself from the debilitating stupor that had held me in its thraldom and convince myself that in this irreconcilable loss, I should find some meaning. Could there be any meaning at all in journeying through a desert wasteland? But then, how can the land, whose soil had been gently trodden upon by the soft feet of Bhagwan for decades, be dismissed as desert wasteland? Facts and metaphors tumbled in a confusing array, and I was not sure where I can pick up the threads of life. However, in the midst of brooding moments marked by a sense of gloom and helplessness, I felt sudden surges of courage and hope, purpose and determination. It took quite a while for such wholesome intervals to assert that, again to quote Sri Aurobindo, a lustrous inner dawn shall come, lighting the chambers of the slumbering mind. As it became clearer that the task ahead called for a sound understanding of Bhagavan's teachings, I could slowly shake off the dark mood. I had to revisit the teachings as contained in his discourses. I felt a renewal of physical and mental energy so as to apply myself to the enormous task of continuing Swami's legacy along with countless devotees and functionaries, each one drawing support and sustenance from others. I was accustomed to offer my worship to the Master in human form, in whom the divine wisdom was embodied. Now, I have to shift the worship to the divine teacher within. I have to develop a meditative mind which will help overcome the noise of the crowded world outside. I found it necessary to recall Swami's teachings that man has to draw back to the possession of self-existence. Deep in our hearts, we knew that He is all that is in the universe. He taught us that He is the knower, the knowledge, and the object of knowledge, and that we are all eternally born from Him and will be eternally back into His existence. I knew then, and I know now, that I cannot continue to see Swami through externalized experience, but to invoke the inner master of my existence, my strength will have to lie in the uplifting power of Swami's eternal spirit. Bhagwan has told us that we are all the sparks of the divine. I understood, and have been conscious, that my divinity is unevolved in human form. I felt it was somewhat possible to seek the ineffable real when it was embodied. I felt that it has become unknowable. There is no longer the possibility of seeing the face of the Absolute. I know I have to overcome the feebleness in me and regain confidence that all is not lost when the holy stillness surrounds me. I discern that to do a work of God on earthly soil, all my emotions have to give themselves to God. It is time to remind myself that Bhagwan has been the living assurance of our divine possibilities. He has made us feel the glow of the divine light. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba who matters to us is the eternal incarnation of the divine, and not merely the historical teacher and leader of men. It has to be our endeavor, to quote once again Sri Aurobindo, to draw the checkered scheme of mortal life into some semblance of the immortal's plan, to shape it closer to an image of God, a little nearer to the idea divine. Thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard Mr. K. Chakravarti read out his article, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, The Force Within, that he had written for a special volume to mark the 90th birthday of Bhagwan Baba in the year 2015. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 22nd of October 2016. Today's reading was the 9th in a series of self-reflections, a special program in honor of the 91st birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba. Mr. K. Chakravarti is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And in this series self-reflection, he reads out articles that he had penned for various commemorative volumes published during landmark birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba over a period of 26 years, from 1990 to 2016. Dear listeners, we look forward to your feedback to this special presentation. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company, and please continue to stay tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam, India. Sai Ram.
To pray.
Come, ride the waves of divine ecstasy and experience the deep joy and bliss of Sai Bhajans. To celebrate the 91st year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent, Sai Blossom presents Bhajan Medley Volume 2, a collection of high-energy congregational music to evoke sublimity, devotion, and a deep connect with divinity. Let's purify our hearts, homes, and environment with Bhajan Medley Volume 2. Available at Sai Blossom Stores Prashanti Nilayam from November 2016. A loving offering by Team Radio Sai at the lotus feet of our Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Narayan, Narayan.